first reading today is from the Old Testament. It's Psalm 111. Hallelujah. I give thanks to God with everything I've got. Wherever God's people gather and in the congregation, God's works are so great, worth a lifetime of study, endless enjoyment. Splendor and beauty mark his craft. His generosity never gives out. His miracles are his memorial. This God of grace, this God of love, he gave food to those who fear him. He remembered to keep his ancient promise. He proved to his people that he could do what he said. Hand them the nation on a platter, a gift. He manufactures truth and justice, and all his products are guaranteed to last. Never out of date, never obsolete, rust-proof. All that he makes and does in honest and true. He paid the ransom for his people. He ordered his covenant kept forever. He's so personal and holy, worthy of our respect. The good life begins in the fear of God. Do that and you'll know the blessing of God. His hallelujah will last forever.
Our second reading is from the Gospel according to Mark chapter 5, verses 25 through 34. A woman who had suffered a condition of hemorrhaging for 12 years, a long succession of physicians had treated her and treated her badly, taking all her money and leaving her worse off than before, had heard about Jesus. She slipped in from behind and touched his robe, and she was thinking to herself, if I can put a finger on his robe, I can get well. And the moment she did it, the flow of blood dried up. She could feel the change and knew her plague was over and done with. At the same moment, Jesus felt energy discharging from him. He turned around to the crowd and asked, who touched my robe? His disciples said, what are you talking about? With this crowd pushing and jostling you, you're asking who touched me? Dozens have touched you. But he went on asking, looking around to see who had done it. And the woman, knowing what had happened, knowing she was the one, stepped up in fear and trembling, knelt before him, and gave him the whole story. Jesus said to her, daughter, you took a risk of faith, and now you're healed and whole. Live well, live blessed, be healed of your plague. Here ends our scripture reading. May you and I be constantly aware of God's presence as we delve a bit deeper and seek for God's word planted in the story. The Gospel of Mark tells an amazing and a meaningful story that took place in a city street long ago. In those days, many people surrounded Jesus, and they were anxious to get close to see Jesus from nearby. Therefore, they were pushing and shoving each other to get closer to Jesus. You see, they wanted to see this Galilean who seems to offer healing of mind, soul, and body. Forgiveness of sin, another chance in life, a new beginning. And then, On a particular day, it happened. Suddenly, unexpectedly, Jesus stopped in his tracks and asked, "Who touched me?" And you know, you must think into the circumstances. That is an electrifying question when you realize who asked it and under what circumstances. And when you study deeper, you cannot escape the thrill of it, the tingle of excitement that grips you when you think of Jesus Christ stopping in response to the simple touch of a poor, nameless woman. Now, this part of the Bible has been studied for many, many centuries, almost since the beginning, a century after the beginning of the Christian era. And the question is, who is this woman? What is written in tradition, in long gone history? And if you delve into that, you'll see that there are many references to this woman calling her Martha. And then there is another line of thinking that refers to her as Veronica. We do not know which one of the two is actually, and it really makes no difference. Because tradition, through the centuries, gave her various names. But no one knows for sure. You know, and I'm bold enough in Jesus' name to believe that some of us may even expect and hear their names, those who listen, those who share in this worship. Because she represents all the people who look everywhere for peace of mind and heart, for hope and comfort, and find nothing. She represents them all, whatever their wants, their fears, their hopes, their pains. She believed that if she could but touch Jesus, even only the hem of his garment, she would be healed and suffer no more. She believed that she could not afford to lose that one single opportunity that came for her in her life. She simply had to touch him. And then the Bible paints a picture for us. Jesus is drawing nearer, and now she can almost touch him. Another moment, and at last, just as he passes, she's able to reach out her hand and with the tip of her finger touch his robe. Well, many touch Jesus in different ways, but not for the same reason. Bible says that was enough. With a trembling finger, she had touched Jesus with the touch of a mighty hope and a mighty faith. No one had noticed her. No one. But Christ Jesus. And recognizing the one magnetic touch of faith amid the pressure of the crowd, Jesus stopped and asked that amazing question. Who touched me? Well, the question does seem absurd to those who heard it. Impatiently, almost with sarcasm, I imagine the disciples ask, "Lord, you see the crowd pressing in on you. How can you say who touched me? You're in the midst of a crowd." But looking around him, Jesus stood still, and his kind but searching glance fell at last on the face of the woman who had done it. You need to use your imagination for a moment. Let's imagine the scene. The gaze of Jesus met and held her gaze. And at that moment, something passed, some communication passed between them. And she found words and she told him her story while they were looking each other straight in the eyes. Now, in its context, we can imagine that his eyes must have given her the necessary confidence, because they seemed to promise all that she desired. Baba says her fear disappeared, and then he actually had a discussion with her. Not in scorn at her action, not why are you wasting my time, not in resentment, not in anger at her presumption, not in ridicule of her faith, not in indignation at her audacity, but in the sympathetic tones of understanding love. Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease. You know, it's as if the Bible gives us this story not to take note of what happened long ago and say, that must have been something. The Bible actually paints a realistic scene. And it is possible more than 20 centuries later to think us into that situation. When you come to church, you expect to be part of a crowd coming to hear about Jesus. And in a crowd where God is honored and where the Bible is taught, there are also always people with a very special need. And that need is, I want to touch Him. I'm tired of religion. I need something to hold on to. And she touched him in faith, desperate believing faith. And Jesus, says the Bible, actually stopped. The touch of one anonymous woman in a crowd halted the Prince of Glory. And that is the glorious message of this incident. As the woman touched him long ago, so can you and I, even this very moment, this very day. That is the story of our faith. That's why I thought we should sing, I love to tell the story. I love to tell the story. And in my quick count, there's more than 7 ordained ministers with us this morning. I think all of you would agree. What a privilege. What a privilege to be able to stand in a pulpit somewhere, no matter how many people around you, but to proclaim a message of salvation. That's the story of our faith. In and through Jesus Christ, we get to know and to touch even the face of God. And on a day like today, we do need to touch Him. Oh, how much we need to touch Him. You know, you can also say that when people gather like we often do and many others across the world, that there's often a thronging of Jesus, just like in the crowd in those days. You know, it's so easy to be part, stand beside the road when Jesus passes by, like the crowd long ago. It's so easy to, out of curiosity, to throng the Lord and never ever touch Him. A great many people in churches and perhaps a great many outside churches are still thronging Jesus, seeking Him, coming close to Him, but never ever actually touching Him. And this story about Jesus and the suffering woman in the crowd brings the clear message. Nobody can touch Him on our behalf. You and I have to touch Him by our very selves. Yeah, one can feel close in the crowd without touching the Lord. And that's exactly the trouble with many of us. We are following the crowd, thronging the Lord, but few are actually in touch with the Master. And because we are not really in touch, there is no vitality in our personal spiritual life. There is no thrill in our prayers. There is no tingle of contact with the infinite resources, no flush of reality about our religion. I happen to be a Christian. What are you? And often we just get, at that point, we just get lost in the crowd, living in the presence of, but always still separated from the Master. Being out of touch with the Lord brings the word Christian under a question mark. People do not touch us by our outer glory. It's when they get in touch with the Master that every church service, every gathering, bigger groups or smaller groups, get new, brilliantly new meaning. Jesus was actually there. I sensed the presence of God while we were talking to one another. And we came straight to the point. He promised that we would have power. Power to do amazing things. Grace to do unnatural things. Such as no longer harboring any grudges of any kind. No longer holding something against somebody, but forgiving those, even those who hurt us, and to love even those who treat us unjustly or unkindly, to actually pray for those who hurt us instead of trying to get them back, to try making right situations that have been wrong for a long time. And even if it means humbling ourselves. Tinka and I were talking this week. I was in constant discussion with a very dear friend, a colleague, a fellow minister in South Africa. And he Skyped. And it was about a huge animosity between him and another pastor. And we discussed it from all different sides. And I mentioned, I said, you know, one of the two of you will have to give, or you're going to be ruined for the rest of your lives. And then came the message. I was traveling through the province of Natal. I climbed to the top of the Drakensberg mountain. And as I looked over the valley, I sensed the presence of God. I always told you the other guy was wrong. I know now I had the key in my hands. And this week, two people who were disconnected connected again. They did so in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior. Sometimes we need to swallow our pride. Sometimes we have to risk. The danger is there that you will get a snub or a slight. But I think your faith, your personal faith, is more important than to worry about a little thing like that. So you may ask, exactly how can I touch Christ? Some may seek healing of body or mind or soul. Some may seek insight on some problem. Some need faith to stand up under the tensions and the stress of life. Some seek forgiveness and seek a new beginning in life. No matter what the reason, I know one thing with conviction of my heart. All of us have reason to touch Christ in faith every day of our lives. Give God a chance. Mention your problem, whatever it may be, to God in prayer. And in the telling, be absolutely honest and sincere. Hold nothing back. Our minds are sometimes shocked when we permit our hearts to spill over, when we hear ourselves talk about who we really are as God knows us. It's good for our spiritual life to say it clearly so that you can hear yourself. God, I've drifted away from you. Lord, I'm coming home. I'm coming home. If we would only have the courage to take a good look at our motives for doing certain things, we might discover something about ourselves that would melt away our pride and soften our hearts so that God could do something with us and for us. Nowadays we have a GPS, a global positioning system in our cars. Don't know about you, but what a blessing. We do not get lost as often as we did in the past. You know, and I guess the word GPS would fit in right here. Because that's also the truth about our faith in God. How completely lost in the mysteries of the universe we would be if we were not made aware of God in and through Jesus Christ. How completely lost I would be in this confusing and lonesome world if not connected in faith to the living God. Oh, we get to know God's will in many ways. It often comes surprisingly through our own conscience. Oh yes, sometimes during our often so lonesome earthly journey, we do discover God. Some may already have reached out and touched the heart, the face of God, even while listening this very hour. In Jesus, the Bible says, God is waiting for your touch. Your hand of faith is enough. Reach out and touch God through Jesus in faith today. You know what? God will not ask, who touched me? God will know who touched him. Amen. Let us bow our heads for a moment. Our Father, how we want to be healed. You know our hurts and our pain. You know the longings of our hearts. You know those places in mind, spirit, and body that are in need of your healing touch. Hear us as we reach out this morning for your helping, healing, life-giving presence, and give us the courage to step through the crowds and other obstacles that could prevent us from being close to you. Make us free from all that would limit us or hold us back from becoming the persons you would have us be. So we pray for all who are in need of healing this morning. We pray that you might hear the yearnings of our hearts and answer us. In the quiet of this time, O God, we listen expectantly for your whispers of grace. We open our lives to you. Now, we need to receive your blessings. Receive us in our pain and brokenness and let us be healed. Restore to us a vision of your world where each person lives and walks in the light of your love. This we pray in the name of the living Christ. Fix us. Fix us, O God. Amen.